I'd like to kind of call you back into, corral you back into time as we're ready to begin the service. The question about community and connecting and things like that, I wrote on mine, what really helps me is name tags. As a lead pastor, I have difficulty with names, and that is probably one of the things that is one of the most discouraging things. But for me, it's name tags. I'm sure some of you may have said small groups. How many said small groups or groups? Okay, how many said humility and vulnerability? Oh, we got one therapist over here. That's what we got. Seriously, you know, they kind of say if the goal of a connection, the goal of a relationship is connection, the glue seems to be commitment, and the point of connection is humility and vulnerability. Because when you're in that place and you're vulnerable, people can see into you. That's creating intimacy. Into me, you see. So that's a really important thing. And I wanted to start with that because one of the things we're going to do this fall, and I'm going to ask you, some of you, to be courageous. And if the Spirit of God's leading you, to maybe invite someone to this series. The series that begins this fall, all the weeks, Sundays in September, is called Married or Not. Okay, so we're going to do Married or Not, The Heart of Connection. And so we'll be talking about those. On the 14th specifically, we're going to actually talk about the pain and joy of singleness. And that's a relevant topic right now in our culture. So that's one of the things I want you to think about, pray about, if the Lord leads you to do that, to do something along that line. Another thing that I'm going to encourage you to do, we have a counselor's training that will be coming up. It's September 30th, and we'll go into November, I think, on Thursday nights. But if you've ever thought, you know, you've heard that we have people who are lay counselors, and the, you know, amount of hours they put in a sense, has been incredible. We're in this place right now. We're looking for bringing some more counselors who might be a part of that, and we'd love to train you. Beth Moorhead, as we've said, has done an incredible job. She'll still be in the team. But Mary and Mike Snuffer, where are you guys? Right here. Hands up high so they can see. If you would like to be a part of that, they're going to do the training. They would love to talk to you. You can talk to us. You can call. You can, anyway, get in contact with us. You have something on marriage as well.
Yeah, they're holding another marriage workshop September 26th through the 28th. It's called Created for Connection. And they held one of these last fall, I think that was the timing, but John and I actually took the workshop because I liked the idea of a workshop where you actually practice what you're learning. And so we would learn a technique or, we were trained something, and then we would go off and work through whatever the training was about. And there are trained counselors who are there, so like if you get in a conversation that's difficult, you can ask the counselor to come in and help you through that conversation. So we found it super helpful. We knew this next year was going to be super stressful. Sure. In our life. And so we're like, why not? Why not just get some other tools in our tool belt? Because, you know, every once in a while, there's one of those things that you run up against where it's like, you just don't even talk about that anymore. You know, it's because you know it's not going to end well. But we learned a tool Sure. to work through that.
That's super. That's great. So here's the thing. We're in a series called Here and Now, and we've been looking at aspects of it. We've talked about combating loneliness. The whole purpose of this series is for us to realize we can make a difference right now. You can make a difference. So one of the things we're doing is giving opportunities. We had prayed for quite some time for a vision, and we, in this 2025 booklet, I don't know if there's any more out there. We've given out so many. It's on the website. Just go on our website. And our vision is empowered by the Spirit. Westgate is called to be a gateway of hope, building authentic community. It's community that is going to connect with others. We'll be an authentic community in the church and sharing that community throughout the Twin Cities. And we've talked about one, combating loneliness. Today, we're talking about uniting different people groups. there is something that we do in our church through counseling. We are constantly uniting sometimes marriages, or we're seeking to unite families, or we're seeking to unite people who have struggles in their relationships in some way. And there's a number of things that we do. We primarily want people to be united in their relationship to God. If it's fractured, and it is fractured because of our sin, there's an opportunity to be united there. One of the things we really believe is important is that we unite groups that have been fractured, who are divided from one another. And so we're going to talk specifically about two different groups. One will be a racial kind of one, and the other one will be actually the church itself. Not our church, but church in the larger sense today. So we've had an opportunity to be doing that just yesterday on 36th and Lindale. And there's some pictures I want to show you. We were out on 36th and Lindale. They're serving. Why don't you share who the lady in the white is and why that's important, that she's behind that?
So when we were there earlier this summer, we met this woman named Natasha, who is from the neighborhood. And she stopped a couple of us and she said, you know, I live in this neighborhood and I would love to serve with you. And so she came on Saturday yesterday, and she wanted to be in the line where we serve the picnic lunch. And she stayed the whole time, which sometimes people come and they say, oh, we'd love to help. And they come for like the first 10 or 15 minutes, and they do help, but they don't stay. And she's like, I'm here. And next time, she said, next time I want to work in a, you know, another area of what we do out there.
Yeah, this is just one small thing. Show maybe there's another picture we can kind of quickly show. That's Jamal. I spent quite some time with Mark Bakke here in our church to talk with Jamal and how God has worked in his life over the last 7 years. I wish I could tell you it all, but the work that God has done in his life, freeing him from drugs and addiction and other things. And we've been asking him, how about coming behind and serving? Why don't we show? I think there's one more slide. Yeah, that's just a slide of people who from our church are handing out food bags. We do this with other churches as well. So some of the other people that are not on here from other churches in the back, I'm just going to say it, the Hibblings and then the Samuelsons. See, I said about names. Okay. I'll just say Katie and Josh.
Sanderson.
And their kids. So Josh is in there with his son, and they're playing and throwing football with kids in the neighborhood. And the reason this is so significant is because this was a neighborhood that of four of them, the city said, would you come and bring whatever you can to help establish peace? People would not walk in those neighborhoods. There were a gang right here, and it was a mess. And God did a miraculous thing. You want to share a little bit of the story of kind of how we got to this point?
Yeah, you know, it was coming together in prayer with two different churches, which one of them was Zion in North Minneapolis and one was Faith Baptist. Mm-hmm. And the pastor of Zion Church said, let's start with prayer. So we've continued over these last 5+ years to pray every Monday at noon. And that birthed us being able to also partner with Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church, which is the closest one to 36th and Lindale. And when the city asked them to kind of take over that corner, they were looking for help. And so they asked Zion. Well, then Zion asked us. And so the last 5 years, we've been out there on that corner with them. And it's just been a journey. But prayer led the way.
Prayer led the way. And I think also with that as well, was there's this deep sense of need. When George Floyd was murdered and that whole thing took place, I, as a pastor, and lots of pastors I talked to at that time said, we've got to do something different. We have to, you know, we're in the suburbs. What does that mean for us? And for me, it was a sense of, we have to have a relationship with the black church. And so that's what we wanted to do in North Minneapolis. And already God was working in hearts here by getting connected with Zion Baptist. And he presented a need, and then he began to already, we saw him working. It's just the way he does. I wanted to get going doing something right away. And one of the pastors there said to me, no, we're going to just pray on Mondays from noon to one for as long as it takes for God to lead us to do the next day. I wasn't like, okay, and we did. And he led us eventually to that place where God has done an incredible work. And the reason I showed you some of the people doing things, that's an opportunity. We talked about, we wanted to pray about our vision. We wanted to share with you the vision. And I know there's people who are saying, what do we do now? Today and last Sunday and the Sundays to come, we want to talk about opportunities where you can make a difference in the vision. I also want to say, if God has been stirring your heart with a vision or something or by a need, think about what that means for you. And just say, Jesus, what do you want me to know and what do you want me to do? It's that simple. We believe a God that speaks to us. He speaks to us through a word, but he also speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, through other people, etc. So that's kind of a little bit about that. Let's put a little scripture here so we can, people are going to go, okay, let's hear about the word of God. What does God's word have to say about this whole idea of these divided people groups? So you want to read the scripture? Should we stand? Let's do that.
We'll stand together. So this is from Luke 9, verses 43 through 50. Awe gripped the people as they saw this majestic display of God's power. While everyone was marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, "Listen to me and remember what I say. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies." But they didn't know what he meant. Its significance was hidden from them, so they couldn't understand it, and they were afraid to ask him about it. Then his disciples began arguing about which one of them was the greatest. But Jesus knew their thoughts, so he brought a little child to his side. Then he said to them, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me also welcomes my Father who sent me. Whoever is the least among you is the greatest." John said to Jesus, "Master, we saw someone using your name to cast out demons, but we told him to stop because he isn't in our group." But Jesus said, "Don't stop him. Anyone who is not against you is for you."
Let's just bow our heads. Father, we believe your word is inspired and has authority, and that the Holy Spirit speaks the words of Jesus into our hearts. Would you speak to us now about what this means for us as a church to be a part of healing groups that have been divided and fractured? How do we bring our community into communities that would bring greater glory to your name? That Jesus, you would be exalted, and Father, you would be glorified as we open our hearts to the work of the Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. So here's what I would like to do is just take a moment to kind of, the big word is exegete this, to share with you what I kind of understand and you know what it might be that Jesus or the Word of God is trying to get across to us here. And if you look at these verses, specifically 46 through 50, they're tightly woven. But we started here with 43, just to give you context. Jesus with James, Peter, and John was up on the mount, and there he was transfigured. They saw his glory. They were overwhelmed with his glory. They wanted to stay on the mountaintop, and the next sentence says they came down from the mountain. We don't stay on mountaintops. We usually enter into the valley of life, and that's where all the, you know, where we get tested and tried and that kind of thing. And they were, because he came down, and the other disciples who were down there had been asked to cast out a spirit from this demonized child who everyone is amazed by the power displayed through Jesus. And then you see all the glory that you saw, you see what's happening here in this battle. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. I'm going to be betrayed. And he gives them this, and they go, "Yeah, okay, okay." And as he walks away, they start fighting about who's going to be the greatest after they have a great failure. That's kind of funny in my mind. But what I want you to understand is that these verses, if you look specifically of this, who's the greatest, and then who can be included or excluded, those two passages of scripture that are tied together here, they're a carefully woven section. You need to know that the authors of the Gospels are not just
going one story after another historically. They do often just historically go, but sometimes there may be a day or so between them. They also are building a story to present the gospel as clearly as possible to bring about change in the lives of the disciples of Jesus, us, his church. And so these are woven together because Jesus wants us to understand. Luke specifically is putting them together so that we'll understand what true greatness is, what belonging is, and what true partnership is. This is for us as a church. He places these accounts back to back intentionally to show the disciples' misunderstanding of greatness and this idea of exclusivity as being from the same root problem. Think about it. What do you think that root problem is? Pride. Very good. Same root problem of pride and self-importance. So verses 46 to 48 is about greatness. They want to be above others. Who's going to be greatest? Because status is important. And Jesus flips the world's definition of greatness on them. And he calls for a child. He knows what's in their thoughts. He goes, brings this child before him. And children that day were dependent. They had no status. They were the lowest of status. And he puts them in front of him. And he doesn't say, become like a child. He makes a different statement. You remember what he says? Anybody remember? Welcome, like you would a child. He says here in this sense, true belonging is not about status, but it's about humility and receiving those who are of a low status. And then in verse 49 to 50, he connects this together. John all of a sudden says, hey, wait a second, someone's out there and they're in your name, they're casting out spirits. There's a quality control issue here, Jesus. Right? We're all concerned about quality control. I think sometimes far more than maybe the Holy Spirit says, you know what, I can control some of this quality. And so in verses 49 and 50, it says, John and the disciples' concern is about outsiders. They want to exclude others who aren't a part of their circle. And boy, do we do that, right? If they don't just dot this I or cross this T, I don't know if we can work with them. That's really the Protestant Reformation. You know, if you look at it, you have the trunk that's going from the Catholic Church all the way back. And then at a certain point, there's Greek Orthodox. And then it splits this way, the Holy Roman Catholic Church. And then there are all kinds of branches after the Protestant Reformation because everything was, if you don't believe exactly like I believe, then you're not going to heaven. And what does Jesus say about this? He doesn't say anything about the name of Christ. All of this needs to be under the name of Christ, which means the key to all of it is Jesus. Do we believe Jesus saves us? Okay? Every one of us holds some wrong beliefs. Well, maybe a few of you don't. I shouldn't say that. I don't know you all very well. But true belonging is not about who's in, but it's about, are you serving in Jesus' name? And Jesus challenges both these attitudes. Just as greatness is not measured by status, belonging to Jesus is not measured by being a part of an inner circle or what you think the inner circle is. Anyone truly working in his name should not be excluded. So the questions are they serving in the name of Jesus? Are they pushing back the kingdom of darkness? Are they doing good as servants of Jesus? And the takeaway here is humble service, open-handed partnership. Because greatness equals embracing the least, the lowest. Belonging means welcoming all who act or serve in the name of Jesus. And disciples of Jesus must neither look down on the lonely nor exclude those whom God is working through. So, Andrea, you've had time to think about this. I just kind of set that up. What are some of your thoughts around this whole idea?
Yeah, I had a wise person once share with me to not let your discernment lead you to suspicion and judgment. And I really had to think about that, because if you think about what holds us back sometimes, it's like he said, you know, are they doing something wrong? Are they believing exactly like we do? And so there's, you know, there's pride and, you know, the need for significance or whatever it is. But if you look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16, it says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. And how differently do we know him now? So as new creations in Christ, we are to look at each other through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to ask God, God, how do you see this person? And the thing I've noticed in a big way when we pray together with churches that are, you know, different from ours and maybe have different viewpoints, there's something about coming together in prayer where the Holy Spirit unites our hearts. And, you know, sometimes in talking to the people that we're praying with, the way they were raised, you would think we were raised in, you know, in different continents. Like, that's how different our upbringing has been. But through the Holy Spirit, he's united our hearts. So there's it's coming in that posture of humility through prayer.
Well, one of the things that I think is so incredible is that God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Anybody who has opened their heart to him will be given the Spirit. And the common language that we have is prayer. And it's amazing if we can move around the fact that Jesus is Lord and he is Savior. We agree on that. Certain denominations or groups of churches might have things that you go, but they believe this. But if you are, I think it's the guy that Jesus says here, they're pushing back the kingdom. They're seeking to do good. They're doing it in the name of Jesus. When that kind of thing begins to occur, what you find is when you meet with them and you begin to pray with them, you hear their heart and you hear the Spirit. And it's so easy for us to, from the outside, kind of go, well, they're a part of this. Until you hear their heart and you hear that they are under the name of Jesus and they're seeking to do good and they're pushing back the kingdom of darkness. And I say that because read Titus. Titus is a book, it's two pages long, and eight times in each of these sections Paul says, do good, do good, do good. That's a really important aspect of pushing back darkness, is doing good. And so Paul and Luke travel together, so some of this rubbed off on him, so that at one point, here's how Luke in Acts 10, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, but also Acts, in 10:38, he says, you know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, and don't miss this word, and power. Part of where we continue to pray as we walk in obedience is that God will release more of his Spirit and power. We're not changing anybody's lives. I have a hard enough, I can't even change my wife's mind. So, and I shouldn't do that either. But I do, I try. Anyway, he says, the Holy Spirit and power, and he, listen to what he says, and Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. They were in the kingdom of darkness. And here's these lines, because God was with him. And so one of the things we found in the black church, because we have different beliefs and all the rest, as we've been working in North Minneapolis, is how incredible it is. It's life-changing to pray with brothers and sisters and hear their passion for Jesus. And so, I don't know. Okay, what, share a couple opportunities, because part of what we want is we want you to experience that if God is calling you. We want you to think about, am I to be involved in helping? Think about this fracture that Jesus is allowing us to have some influence on. I don't know what it's, we'll get to heaven to find out what it really did. But at least from an external standpoint, the fracture between the black and white, between the suburb and city, is huge. And we're not gonna move it an inch, but the Spirit of God will. So, I don't even know where I was gonna go, but you've had those opportunities, and I'll shut up. You can talk.
You know, Jesus prayed for us to be one, just like the Father and He are one. And there's something about partnering with Jesus' prayer, right? Like there's things only Holy Spirit can do, but we can partner with his word. And so part of that is just what we're trying to do. And we're going to continue to go out to 36 in Lyndale this summer. It's the first and third Saturdays. And we're out there from noon to 3, so our next time will be the 6th of September. If you want to be part of that, just let me or someone on staff know. You know, just come. Just try. If your heart is tugged at all, by that. Like, don't be afraid to reach out. The other opportunity we have is drive-through prayer on September 2nd. That's the Thursday before. And, no, it's September 4th. Right. September 2nd is the day of prayer. September 4th is drive-through prayer. But again, we have people from churches all around the area that stop in. And they might even tell us, you know, oh, I'm from this church or from that church. But, you know, again, God unites our hearts as we pray. Because we're praying to the one God who created all of us and who loves us and who is drawing all of us to himself. So those are just two opportunities.
And one is going to be coming in November, on Thanksgiving Day. We served on 36 and Penn. So God is having more locations for us. That's another one where we actually served hundreds of people. Amazing. Listen for that coming up at some point. I know you have maybe a Thanksgiving Day thing, but some people said, I'm going to just go and I'm going to do that. And it made a huge difference in lives. Okay, I want to get to the next thing because we have, you know, I just look at the fractures that God has given us opportunity for. One has been in suburb, city, black, white. Another one now has been, and this is not how I would have gone about this, but is Catholic, Protestant. Okay, so you need to know, I was infected with the spirit of unity back in the early 90s when I was given the opportunity. Someone flew me to the revival that was happening in Buenos Aires in Argentina, and unbelievable. One church had services packed. It had about 4,000 or so in it, packed, and they only took an hour off from 3 to 4 in order to clean the church. I couldn't understand what was being said. I could just feel the overwhelming sense and presence of the Spirit of God. And I saw Catholics and Baptists and Pentecostals and Lutherans working together for Jesus. And I said, God, I'd love to do that. I had the opportunity to start that, and we don't have time to talk about a thing called Heart for the West, where God did something for a period of time. And then I've always wanted to do something here, and has only been in the last, like, 2 years that God opened it up. I tried with other churches, but all of a sudden one day someone said to me, you need to get in touch with the father at St. Bart's, and I did, and we're going to talk about that. I sat down with James over here and Father John, and it was like our hearts, and Luke Broder was with me, our hearts were just knit together around the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ. It was amazing. So what happens, and I'll make this quick, we had a guy, about 3-4 months ago, I have a guy come into church, his name's Tom Moore, he's from Holy Name of Jesus Catholic Church, and he says, I know Maury Kapsner, because we've had a ministry over there, I know Maury Kapsner, I know Terry Issa, I wanted to talk to you, I've been to a number of churches in the area, but God has laid on my heart, I want you to do a retreat with me called The Difference Makers here in November, and there's people from Holy Name of Jesus Church, and I'd like Taylor, your pastor, to do some worship. You can go to this if you want. He's rented the Plymouth Playhouse. There are only like 40 seats left. So if you want the QR code, however you want to get it, you can do that. And I'd love for you to be there. But we're doing something with the Catholic Church. I would never imagine this, but man, I've sat down and we've talked. This thing we're putting, it is all about knowing who you are in Christ. Your identity. And it's amazing. So that's one thing. I'm going to ask you to have James come up here. James, he's not going to like me doing this. He's from St. Bart's. He's got 2 PhDs, so give him a little respect. He's on staff at St. Bart's. Come on up here. You can take my stool if you would, or you guys can stand, however you want to do it. And he's a brother in Christ, and we're going to be doing stuff with the Catholic Church at St. Bart's. So why don't you guys go ahead and talk?
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think the whole 2 PhDs thing just means glutton for punishment, because it's one of those things, if you knew what you're asking for when you started, you'd be like, nah, we'll just do the standard thing. But we've never been much for standard things, right?
So it's just been a gift. Oh, it's been such a gift to meet together and hear his heart for his church family. And for this Wayzata, Plymouth, Orono area. And gosh, you know, like, we're so united on the things we want God to do here. And so one of those things that we have coming up is we're going to pray together.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's been a gift for me, too. It's such an honor just to be able to come to be invited here. I know the Lord kind of brought me here, gosh, was that like just a couple months ago? And I was just so blessed by the way his presence was here, by the way you've all like faithfully followed him, stewarded his call to see the impact that your church is having. It's been encouraging for me because, I mean, we're all trying to do the same things, just help people draw closer to Christ and then find out who they are and who he's calling them to be too. So it's beautiful for me. Yeah, so like Andrea mentioned, we're going to be working on praying together in a number of ways. So the first one I think coming up is going to be, well, you have your worship night here. And so I know I'm going to try and make that. I'm going to see if I can get a few people to come because there's something beautiful that happens when we start praying and we start worshiping together. And it's something that we're seeing a lot more too. It's like the Holy Spirit right now is actually writing a common prayer language, I think, with the genre of worship music. It's something that we sing in mass at times in the Catholic Church down the way, something that you sing here. It's like we all now have suddenly have a common language that we can pray together. And then also at James J. Hill Days, to take prayer down onto the streets there is going to be kind of our next thing as well, and just see where it goes. But and I was struck a few years ago when I was at James J. Hill Days and St. Bart's bought a booth down there. And I was looking around and there was only like one other church there, but then looking to the left and it was the fortune tellers, and to the right it was the Reiki healers. And so people are looking, but what they're finding is not Jesus. They're finding the counterfeits and they're finding the distractions. And so our goal is, again, to not just take prayer, but take prayer with expectation and with the power of God to try and make a difference in people's lives. And so just so thankful that you all would join us in that.
Yeah, we tried to get a booth, but they were all sold out already.
So, that's okay. We have space. Yeah. We'll make some space.
Yeah, so we're actually going to be sharing the same booth
absolutely.
Together. And people can find out that Catholics and Protestants can actually pray together.
Absolutely. Well, it's beautiful, too, because you read John 17, and Jesus doesn't say, I mean, you guys are blessed here with, like, fantastic worship and also fantastic preaching. Can we just honor the worship team that led us this morning, too? Such a pleasure. But we tend to think it's all the stuff that we do, you know, that it's going to be the fantastic sermon that's going to draw people in here, that it's going to be the amazing worship. But in the Gospel of John, it's not your really great theology. It's not your really great preaching. It's not even all of the fantastic small groups and activities that you do that will make God known and loved, right? It's the way that we love one another. Yes. And so we're just trying to walk this out. I love that even as our relationship has come together, that it's been in relationship with one another that the Lord has drawn us together. So we got to know each other, found out, oh my gosh, you guys are awesome. We have a similar love of like all things Holy Spirit too, which was just so wonderful to see. I don't run into a whole lot of that. And then from that, it's like, well, Lord, we think you're doing something here. So we're going to try and love each other well and follow you. And then you'll kind of point us out where to go from there.
Yeah. And that's all it takes, is just a responsiveness to the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and just saying, yes, God. So I'll partner with that.
I have to share this one thing, and that is, I was thinking about it as we were doing this. What so is exciting for me, because this has been infected in my heart for so long, and I'm seeing God beginning to do this. Many of you know that I had a knee replacement back in the beginning of June, and I came like about 2 weeks later, and I kind of hobbled up here. I'm still hobbling a bit, but people were amazed that I could walk. Like, that's a big deal after something fractured or something like that has taken place. And I just go, can you imagine how amazed the community and communities will be when they see a fracture being healed where black and white are walking together, where Catholic and Protestant are walking together? I'm not saying all. I'm just saying what he's called us to do here. I do think that will bring great glory to God. In fact, that's what John 17 says, right?
Yep.
It basically makes that statement that when there's that kind of unity around Jesus, the world will take notice. And many will come to faith in Christ. So we're praying for that. We have an expectation, not that our vision is great, but that the Spirit of God is working through you, because you are the ones, as you open your heart to him and take these opportunities. If God is saying, I want you to serve here in youth group, or I want you to go and be about that prayer team at JJ Hills, or whatever it might be, I'm just going to ask you, get engaged. Or if God is leading you with a need and you begin to share it with others, say, Jesus, what do you want us to know about this and what do you want us to do? And I think God is going to do some powerful things. Some he's calling to be counselors, and some he's calling to be administrators here to help us in the church. I don't know what it looks like. But I do know that when we walk this out and the fracture is healed, people will be amazed and Jesus will be glorified. Okay, I'm just going to close. Jesus, this has been a holy time in your presence, and so we ask that you would seal in our hearts the things that have been done and lead us with St. Bart's, Holy Name of Jesus, whoever else, Faith Baptist, Zion Baptist, Missionary Fellowship Church there, any other churches as well. God, lead us to do this in one. Would you capture this city of Minneapolis and St. Paul, these cities, for you in Christ's name. Amen. Good. You want to share a few?
Yeah, so as always, if you would like prayer this morning for you or for someone else, feel free to join us in the back corner, and we would love to pray for you. The other thing is there is a group leader training immediately after the service in Community Room B. So thank you. Thank you for being part of this.